On today's Technobabble, which video lighting technology to use?
This is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. My name is Paul Clifford, and I will be your host today, as I am every week. I haven't done this every week, but the vast majority of the shows I've been the host since 2005, if you can believe that, July of 2005. So we're actually coming up on the 9-year anniversary of Technobabble here in just a couple of months. So I'd love for you to join the conversation, interact with me, give me your questions, your comments, your snide remarks, what have you. Just head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact and you can interact with the show there. You'll also find all my contact information, so you can drop me a line, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, if that's the kind of thing that you like to do. If you're more of a phone person, no problem. I've got a phone number for you, 1-877-POD-ECHO, to echo back to this podcast. That's 1-877-763-3246. Also, my Twitter handle is Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanCliff. And you can tweet me there, send me a direct message, mention me, what have you. And you'll also get daily announcements when the shows are about to go live, which you may not know that these shows are recorded live. I have 5 shows that are recorded Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on churchtechcast.com. And you can find them there. You can hop onto the chat window, interact with me as the show is going live, and be a part of the action there, or just watch and see how that goes. By the way, I should mention, sometimes I forget to mention this, that because I'm using Church TechCast, because I'm using churchstreaming.tv on churchtechcast.com, there's also a Roku channel. So if you have a Roku and you think, man, I'd love to subscribe, no problem. Go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/Roku, and that'll give you a direct access to where you can add the Roku channel in your web browser, nice and simple. As one of my pastors says, easy breezy, lemon squeezy. That would be the easy way to do it. So head over there, and you can support the show just by subscribing, and you'll get new episodes as they're uploaded to the server. So before we start, I want to thank people like you who have supported the show, which they did just by going to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. That's patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show and just help improve the quality and help other churches that don't have the money to spend on someone to be on staff with them, to answer their questions and just make the use of technology more possible. So that's really the point of why I'm doing this, is to help these churches and to answer your questions. So head over and join the effort to make that possible and to bring on other experts that we can get to answer questions that maybe I don't know the answers to, because I don't know everything. I only know what I know, and what I don't know, I don't even know that I don't know it, because if I knew that I didn't know it, then I could know it, but you can see how that works. So let's actually jump past all that confusing conversation and head into the topic today. Let's talk about the different lighting technologies. Now, here I'm not talking about stage lighting, although some of this applies to that. What I'm talking about is using lighting for video work, primarily for pre-recorded video work. Although, again, some of this does apply to stage lighting and IMAG, etc. But you should know that there are about 5 different technologies. I left out fire, but other than that, these are pretty much the technologies you could use for lighting at your church for video work. The question is, which should you use and why? Now, first, before I start, other than the sun, which I have listed and we'll talk about in just a second, there are actually 2 versions of each of these. There are the professional version, which across the board are more expensive than the consumer version. But professionals aren't stupid. They don't just decide to pay extra money to pay extra money. There are very good reasons why there are professional light kits, and professionals opt for those instead of going to a hardware store and picking up the consumer version. So you need to remember that when you're thinking about doing lighting. While the 3-point lighting I have for this shot is all consumer lighting, the lighting that I have for the shot on the Eternity Changers show is by and large professional lighting. And there's a reason for that. I have more control with professional lighting. So there are reasons. So we'll go into those here in just a moment. But keep in mind, when I say expensive or inexpensive, what I'm talking about is in each range. So if you were to compare professional LED lighting to consumer fluorescent lighting, that's going to be a much larger gap than professional fluorescent lighting and professional LED lighting. Understand? So keep that in mind. But let's start off with the sun. Now, the sun is the first source of light that human beings ever found, and that's because all we had to do was look up during the day, and we had the sun. So it didn't involve lighting things, it didn't involve fire, it didn't involve electricity, just the sun. Now, the positive of the sun is it's free, and it's great for doing video about twice a day at what are called the golden hours. It's the hour around sunrise and the hour around sunset. During those times, the sun is beautiful for doing lighting. Unfortunately, during other hours, less so. Now, at night, it's no good at all because it's on the other side of the planet, so that's not helpful at all. And you can't make it show up when it's nighttime. It gets harsh during most of the day, unless it's an overcast day. If it's an overcast day, then you can get much more subtle lighting because it's diffused through the clouds. Now, you can do some things with that. You can have like a lighting diffusion that you hold over the scene, over your talent, if they're close enough, to shade them so that the light isn't as harsh. You can use bounce boards to move light around, but still, it's harder to control than inside. So that's the downside. Incandescent lighting is inexpensive, but it's also hot. And really, I ought to bundle incandescent, tungsten, halogen, and quartz lighting all together because they're very similar from a cost and temperature standpoint. And when I say temperature, in this case, I'm talking if you touch the lamp with your hand or you get near it, it's hot. it would make you hot. It would burn your flesh if you touch it after it's been on for a short amount of time. So a lot of the energy used to create the light is wasted as heat. Now, if you're in a cold room, that's helpful. But, for example, when I shoot the Eternity Changers show during the summer, it makes my little home studio very hot and very uncomfortable. So that's a downside if you want to think about that. But these technologies are fairly inexpensive. Incandescent lights, tungsten lights, halogen quartz. Basically, we're talking about two different but similar technologies. The incandescent light, which just uses glass as the outer covering and uses tungsten as the filament. So that's why they're sometimes called tungsten and sometimes called incandescent. And quartz lights or halogen lights. Quartz and halogen lights are the same thing. When they were created for the movie industry, they named them after the outer covering, which is made of quartz. When they were created for just consumers, they named them after the gas inside, which is halogen gas. So those are the same thing, just as incandescent and tungsten lights are the same thing. But halogen and quartz lights tend to get much brighter, they use much more power, and they get much hotter. Incandescent and tungsten lights, they don't get as hot, they don't put out as much light. So I can have a 100 watt incandescent light, or I can have a 550 watt quartz light. So they're slightly different technologies, but their lighting color temperature is similar. When you're using professional equipment, they're fairly easy to control. When you're using consumer equipment, they're less easy to control. Now, you can do things, you can build barn doors, you can put diffusion around them, you can do things to make them easier to control, but by default, they're not easy to control. So while they're inexpensive, they're very hot, and if you buy the really inexpensive ones, the consumer ones, they're really hard to control. Next, we have fluorescent lights. Now, you might know about compact fluorescent lights. You see those in your house. You might know about the long tube fluorescent lights that you see in commercial buildings. Those are all very similar technologies. First off, they're not instant on, like incandescent and tungsten and halogen and quartz lights. They come on and then they warm up. So it takes a while after you turn them on before they're at full light. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, they're not dimmable. There are dimmable fluorescent lights, so I should clarify that. But in general, you have to make sure you buy the dimmable ones if you want to dim them. Whereas out of the box, an incandescent light is dimmable, a quartz light is dimmable. Next, because of the ballast that's required for these, you might notice some buzzing in your audio. Now, right now, I'm using compact fluorescence to light this scene, if you're watching the video. And right now, no buzzing. But that doesn't mean that couldn't change at any moment, because the way the ballasts work, sometimes you get a little buzz. The color temperature, too, you have to be very careful, because depending on which ones you buy, you will get different colors of fluorescent lights. So it actually matters that you pay attention to the color temperature listed on the box. If you want it daylight balanced, if you want it incandescent balanced, if you just get ones that really aren't color corrected whatsoever, they will be green looking on camera. And that will make a person look very sickly and a little gross, actually. So you need to keep all these things in mind as you're buying these fluorescent fixtures. Now, I will say, if you compare the cost of professional fluorescent fixtures with professional quartz or halogen fixtures, the fluorescents are going to be more expensive, they're going to be larger, they're going to be more fragile, more difficult to deal with, but also cooler, also requiring less power. So it's a trade-off. Next, we have the LED type of fixture. Now, LED is the newcomer in the batch. LEDs are very cool to operate, and I mean temperature-wise. They are dimmable, so they get kind of the best of both worlds. You get a dimmable fixture that's cool to operate. Unfortunately, they take up a larger space than a quartz light to put out the same amount of light, but less than fluorescents do. So that's an advantage when you think about it. You need to be careful, though, because some LED lights are not full spectrum, so on camera the light can look just wrong, and you need to be careful about that. But there's another advantage that LEDs can be both AC, alternating current, and DC. So you can run these things off batteries, which is very helpful if you're, let's say you're doing a shot at an abandoned building. When you go in there, there's no power to plug into. No problem. You hook up your batteries, you're good. They use very little electricity, so this isn't a problem. And then you can use those same lights in the studio plugged into power, and you're good again. So that's another advantage. Another advantage is some LED fixtures you can change the color on. So a good example of the consumer version that does this is the Philips Hue bulb. And those are Wi-Fi controllable, so you can just throw those into a regular fixture and then use an iPhone or some other device and change the color. And they even have a color wheel, so you can pick out exactly the color that you want. So that's an advantage. None of the other technologies do that. But the disadvantage to all these is across the board, for the same amount of light, right now, as in April 24th, 2014, LED bulbs are more expensive. They're as pricey as compact fluorescents were just a few years ago. Now, I don't think that that's always going to be the case. I think in a few years, you'll be able to pick up a bulb for a dollar, and it'll work great and last for years and years, and that'll be the clear choice. But right now, I actually looked at this when I was setting up my home studio. I thought, oh, I'll just pick up LEDs. They've come down in price, and I was right. The flood lamps that I was looking at were about $30 each. This was about a year ago. They were $30 each and put out the same amount of light as a 100-watt incandescent bulb, which when I looked at that, they were a dollar each. Now, the incandescents don't last nearly as long, but they were less expensive. What I did was I went for the compact fluorescents, as I mentioned, as kind of a compromise between the two, and they've been okay. I would love to get LEDs in the future. So those are your types of light. Those are the pros and the cons. Eventually, I think everyone will always use LEDs because once they come down in price, once they get all the color issues figured out, they're just better. just across the board better. But right now, not so much. So I hope that helps you. I hope that you can take away the differences between these lights and make a decision based on how much money you have, how much flexibility you need, which is the appropriate piece as you're using these technologies to go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with Trinity Digital Media.